For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
We come around the Word of God this morning, the precious Word, the precious seed. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the word that you have given. It is an accurate word. It is a lovely word. And Lord, we do see it in the right way as very food for our spirits and as a word that's been given to equip us. And Father, I pray that this morning we all be encouraged in you and we go forward as we heed the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning we're looking at part two of the word working in us. The word working in us. We've gone through a few things related to that. We saw that God's preparation of the heart is very important, and we'll have a look at that in a bit more detail today. We'll look at Revelation 3, verse 19. Revelation 3, verse 19. The Word of God is not a natural word. It's not just like any other old book. It is the Word which is given by God Himself. And Jesus said that the words of God, His words, are spirit and they are life. So as we approach it in a faith way, believing it, receiving it, seeking to understand it through the Spirit of God, then He can do something in our heart. We have to be prepared. We have to understand that God wants to use His people. And in verse 19 of Revelation 3, it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, this is Jesus speaking. As many as I love. Who's that? Is that you? Yes? Is that me? Yes? As many as I love. That's me. As we should say. As many as Jesus loves. That's me. That's you. Praise the Lord. So what must you expect, therefore, in your Christian walk? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Okay, so in our Christian walk, we have to receive this, that there will be times when we will be rebuked of the Lord and chastened of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that, you know, chasing is not a thing that's necessarily comfortable, but it is necessary. If a child is allowed to do anything and is not rebuked and chastened, is not corrected, what happens to that child? And we know, just in our society alone, that many go astray and into all types of great problems as they get into adulthood because as a child they haven't been corrected. So as many as I love, Jesus says, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. You know, as a Christian, there'll be times when you'll have to repent of things. You'll have to receive rebuking and chastening. You'll have to make corrections in your life. If you haven't, then you haven't been living the Christian life properly. Because Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Have a look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. This is a key scripture for understanding what the Word of God will do in us as it's working in us. You know, God has put His word into the earth. We'll look at verses 16 and 17. He's put His word into the earth for a purpose. He's inspired it. He's brought it into, from heaven, obviously, because the Bible says thy word is settled in heaven. We looked at that last week. It's a settled word, and that word has been brought into the earth accurately, despite what man might say. It's been accurately superintended by God and is available today. And notice what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. I want you to think about that. Profitable. It's profitable. Now, you have to therefore have a doctrine, and this is the proper doctrine, that scripture must be available to you and me as a Christian. In other words, there must be the availability of scripture for my profit. And notice what it says here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly is not thoroughly. It's talking about inside and outside, in the inner man and in the outer man. Okay, there is a training, obviously, of the outer man that we have to get in line with the Word of God. So, the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect is an interesting word. You've heard the doctrine, oh, no one can be perfect. Well, the Bible talks about being perfect in your heart. Being perfect in heart. Having a perfect heart before the Lord. So, yes, in God you can be perfect. You may not have all your actions in line, and your body may not be doing exactly what it should and so on. But the Bible says that Scripture is profitable for you, for me, to bring about that perfection of heart. So that means there is correction, there is change that is necessary within people as they go forward in the Christian life. If we go back to Proverbs 16, let's have a look. Proverbs 16 verse 1, first of all. Proverbs 16 verse 1. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, it talks about the word heart. We know heart is the inner man. So the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The longer you go on in the Lord, the more you understand that you can't rely on yourself. There is much to be done in the Lord. The church has much to be done right across this earth. But you can't do it in the natural. You have to rely on the Lord. You have to rely on the Lord. And the preparations of the heart in man means that you're relying on the Lord and you're yielding yourself through that rebuking and chastising process that Jesus talked about, through what we know as sanctification, set apart from the things of the world and so on, and set apart unto the Lord. You see, we're not relevant to the world because we're peculiar people, we're strangers and pilgrims, that we are walking on the earth and we're in the world but not of the world. These are things that should be very evident to the Christian. And so when you get into the scripture, what happens? You start to get your mind renewed and you start to think the way the Bible instructs you to think. And that preparations of the heart is from the Lord, and the answer of the tongue, you know. There'll be a time when the Lord wants you to say something. Well, in the natural, you know, you might not be able to think of anything, but as you yield to the Lord, something will come out of your spirit and you'll say something that's right. Of course, what you say must agree with the Word of God as you speak. Go down to verse 5. Notice what it says here. Now, this is a big problem. Not just in our society, but in the church as well. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So a person that has pride in there and pride in God's eyes is a very, very bad thing. It's an evil thing. It's an abomination. Abomination is a very harsh word. It's a major word. Abomination to the Lord, something the Lord absolutely detests and hates. For us as Christians, we should say, well, if the Lord hates it, I want nothing to do with it. So if you detect pride in yourself, you say, I reject that. I yield myself to the Lord. Because if you don't, the Bible says that he resists the proud. We won't turn to that scripture, but it tells us that he resists the proud. We can't be of that category. And if you detect anything like that, you need to get it out. Okay? The whole of our society is around this. You know, I'm proud of myself and so on and all this type of thing. It's all the wrong type of language and the wrong type of thinking. The biblical language never says that type of thing. Pride is an abomination to the Lord. An abomination. And everyone that is proud in heart, so see where pride starts, it's in the heart. Starts in the heart. But you know, what we should think, and this is very important for us to think, is that everything we have, including all our talents and abilities, the very breath that's in our body, has been given from the Lord, the Creator. There's nothing we have that hasn't been given to us already. So we should just settle it straight away. Settle it straight away. Lord, you have given me everything I have, and I'm going to use what I have for you. And as a Christian, you know, we can have all types of abilities, but don't be proud of that. Just give all glory to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that, and I will use that for you. You know, in the world, there's all types of wonderful singers and that, but they don't give glory to the Lord about it. There's much pride about it. God hates that. God hates that. He doesn't want that in his people at all. Another area of pride is shown in Proverbs 13 verse 10. Now, we could talk a lot about this, but I just want to bring up a couple of other areas because pride is a big, big problem in our society. A big problem. Proverbs 13 verse 10. And so we need to be aware of it to make sure that it's not in our life. Remember the preparations of the heart? Is from the Lord, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So we want our heart to be prepared, and there'll be times when we've got to get things out that shouldn't be there. In other words, submit to that rebuking and chastening of the Lord. Proverbs 13 verse 10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. The contention, I'm not talking about arguing a case. You know, obviously, there'll be times when you'll have to reason with people. Reasoning with people, bringing up certain arguments about things. This is talking about a prideful approach, and it's I'm right and you're wrong, and nothing you say will sway me, and I'm going to be angry with you, and this is the way it's going to be. Well, only by pride cometh contention. So if you're finding that's a problem, you need to say, oh, wait, There shouldn't be contention, because only by pride cometh contention, according to Scripture. Therefore, pride must be involved somewhere here. If it's in me, Lord, I've got to get it out. Okay, only by pride cometh contention. This has to be accepted because it's Scripture. And you allow Scripture to profit you, to correct you. Okay, to correct you, to change you. So that your heart is prepared so that He can use you to do His will on the earth. He wants to use His people to do His will. The reason why He can't use certain people is that they won't yield to Him. They won't allow themselves to be corrected and changed. But the Word working in us will change us. Will change us because it has power associated with us, with it. Let's have a look at another aspect of pride, because I think this is an important thing for us to understand. And it's found in the book of Obadiah. And Obadiah, there's only one chapter, and we'll look at verse 3 of Obadiah. It's just before the book of Jonah. So Obadiah, verse 3. I just want you to see this, because this area is just so much a part of our society. You know, you see pride all around you, but it is a major sin that God doesn't want to affect our heart. God doesn't want to affect that pride to affect our heart. He doesn't want us to be proud in heart. We have to be humble, remember. That means bow the knee to God and say, Lord, You are right in all things. Obadiah, verse 3, we're really looking at the first part. It says, the pride of thine heart hath, what? Deceived thee. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. If you allow pride to stay in, you start to get deceived. You get deceived. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Where's pride? In the heart. In the heart, that's where it starts. And then, of course, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. There, you don't want to be in a state of deception, because then you're believing and thinking the wrong things. So the easiest way to get pride out is to bow the knee and say, Lord, everything I have, every talent, every physical thing I have, including any abilities that come through my body or mind, has come from You, Lord, and I commit it all to You. And that's what I want to do. I want to live my life fully for You. If you don't, you start to go into deception. And you don't want to be deceived. Because if you're deceived, you start believing the wrong things. And you start acting the wrong way. We see it all around us now. People are deceived about all types of things. And you see it's related to things like pride and arrogance, and so on. These are not the characteristics of a Christian. A Christian loves God, loves the neighbour, and loves themselves as they love the neighbour. We know that we have to honour the Lord in all that we do and say. Praise the Lord. And it starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. Glory to God. Have a look at Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Now, remember what I said at the beginning, the Word of God, the Holy Bible that we have, is not a natural book. It's not natural words. They are spirit and they are life. And we see this here also in Hebrews 4 verse 12. And you see that it affects both the inner man and the outer man. the inner man being the soul and spirit. There is something as it comes in and you believe it, you receive it, you believe it, it will start to affect you and do things within you. It'll work within you. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So quick is intensely alive, okay? Powerful, full of power, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's very accurate, okay? It's able to pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So it's doing something in both of those areas. Joints and marrow, well, that's related to your body. And notice what it says in the last part, a discerner, which is judging, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So think about what we've just been talking about, the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. If there's prideful thoughts, what should you do with those? Cast them down. Very good. Cast them down. Imaginations? Cast them down. If you have an imagination that something bad is going to happen to you, what should you do with it? You say, oh, yes, oh, I'll start worrying about that and fearing that. No. This is what I do. I cast it down. I say, I refuse that and cast that down in the name of Jesus. Might not do it that loudly, but I say basically that. And I put the scripture in place. I say, this is the reality. God is my fortress. God is my refuge. And he is my shield and my defense. It works. It works. But you have to be vigilant. You have to be sober about this. Your adversary, the devil, is sending these fiery darts your way. But you have to have the shield of faith, don't you? The shield of faith in place. So we see that there are things that come against your heart, but the Word of God will discern what is the right thoughts to be thinking, what is the right intentions to be having. Okay? If your thoughts are going along a particular line and you know you shouldn't be thinking that way, then you say, I stop that in the name of Jesus. And I choose to think on good things. I choose to think on good things. That's what the Bible says. Think on these things. It gives a list. I choose to think on good things. And then you grab your Bible. You know, you might have your Bible on your phone, or your physical Bible, paper Bible, and you get it into your mind, into your heart. You read it, you meditate on it, you allow it in. So let's have a look at John 8, verses 21 to 32. John 8. Now God is good to us. He has given his word. The way some people, even Christians, act, it's as though the Bible is just a mystery book. You can't know anything. Well, the Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God. You need to put a bit of effort into understanding it. But the Lord will give you understanding as you submit to him, as you prayerfully approach it, as you mix the hearing of it with faith, as you say, Lord, show me out of your word what you want me to know. Things like that. So we're looking at John 8. We'll start from verse 21 in John 8. This is a real key area of scripture about how we should be living as Christians. John 8, starting from verse 21, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." He's talking to some enemies here, some people that detested him. "Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." Should we be saying things like that? That we are not of this world? Exactly. We should be saying that. We're of the kingdom of God, not of this world. Verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." So he's been preaching and teaching, and have these people been truly listening? No. Verse 26, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." Now you might think, and some people might think, well, Jesus was speaking all these things and it was like a great big cryptic puzzle. You know why? Because if people approach the word in the wrong way, the Bible will be like a locked book or closed book to them. But as you approach the Bible, the Word of God, in a believing way, things will open up to you. Understanding will come to you. And the Word will be able to work in your heart. But these people, they were resisting Jesus. And they couldn't understand what he was saying. Verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And then we see something that's really important for us to see. "As he spake these words, many believed on him." So there were people that started to hear and say, well, he's not just speaking rubbish, he's speaking truth. It's something that is really important about these words that he's speaking. And it says in verse 30, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." And the believing on talks about making foundational what he's saying. Verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." What's he saying? "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So what's the condition? Continue in the words of God. In my word, Jesus. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You can see in the word disciple, discipline. Okay, people that are willing to go the way, willing to endure perhaps a bit of hardness. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy," but there are things that you must continually resist as you're in the world. I mentioned before, you've got to cast down imaginations. You've got to come against things like pride and other sins that might try to beset you and trap you and keep you back. But notice what it says here. If ye continue in my word, then ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So where's that knowledge? In the heart, isn't it? You shall know the truth. But you've got to continue in the word of God and be a disciple. And ye shall know, because that word "and" connects what he just said in verse 31. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free. This is true freedom. The truth shall make you free. What's the truth? Thy word is truth. That's what it says in, won't turn to it, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. So adherence to his word as the truth is very, very important. Very, very important. In fact, it's absolutely crucial, foundational for the Christian walk. Foundational. And it is not just, oh, I don't understand this, therefore I won't believe it. It's not that way of approach at all. It's by faith I receive it. And the Lord will then give you understanding. There's hard passages in the Bible, there's no doubt about it. But that's no reason to reject any of it. The Lord wants you to continue in his word, to continue in his word, to continue in his word. Right to the end of your life, naturally, and of course, going on into eternity. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that freedom is in all aspects of your life. All aspects of your life. Freedom. Go down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's what it says in verse 37. We'll just point this out. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. So does the word of God have place in you? Does it have place in you and me?
Yes.
It does, doesn't it? It should have place in us. The word must have place in us. Now we won't turn to it, but Mark 4 talks about the parable of the sower, where the heart is the ground for the seed of God's word. We saw in Hebrews 4 verse 12 how the word of God is quick and powerful. Nothing wrong with the word, but it's got to have place in us. We've got to continue in it in a believing way so that we can know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We'll be free indeed. That freedom is available as we go forward in him. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. Have a look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 verses 20 and 21. Is God's word working in us? Well, it should be, shouldn't it? Because his word must have a place in us. And in Ephesians 3, look at verse 20 and 21. It says here, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There has to be a working in us according to the power. Where's that power from? The word of God that worketh in us. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. They're working in your heart. Working in your heart as you say, Lord, I bow the knee. I know that you love me. I submit to your rebuking and chastening. It may not be comfortable at times, But I know that you love me. I know that you want the best for me. And you want the best for your church. And I'm part of your church. And your power is working in me. And I praise you for that, that it is working in me. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work in me. For your glory. The glory of the Lord. Not for my glory. Not for my glory, but the glory of the Lord is working in me. God is doing things in us that, as it says there, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, as I've got older in the Lord, there's just things which, if you'd gone 20 years ago and said this is what's going to happen, it would have been hard for me to grasp. And who knows, except the Lord, what's going to happen in the next 20, 30, 40 years in our lives. So I think there's good things coming up. Even abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's word is working in us. God's word is working in us. I pray that you receive that this morning. There's another area attached to this that I want to talk about in part three. But this morning, let's understand that as we bow the knee to him and accept that rebuking and chastening because he loves us, that he's doing something good in us, and see the word for what it is, then we're going to go forward in him. He's going to be able to use us, every one of us. No one's left out. If you're a believer in Christ, you're not left out. God is going to use you in a great way. But not in a prideful way, but as you humble yourself before him. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer and commit ourselves to the Lord. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. We thank you for the work that you're doing in us. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we will be diligent to put that word into our hearts in a believing way. We know that it is profitable for us. And I pray that every person here would submit to you, and if there be anything in any of our hearts that needs to be corrected, Lord, that you would show us and remind us and teach us that we can be people of holiness and go forward in you and be used greatly in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus.